Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. In the State of the Union speech, George Bush talked about his warrantless domestic eavesdropping program. Bush strongly suggested the September 11, 2001 attacks could have been prevented if the phone calls of two hijackers had been monitored under that program. But the 9/11 Commission and congressional investigators said that bureaucratic problems, not a lack of information, were the main reasons for the security breakdown on 9/11. Referring to Iraq in the speech, Bush said the United States is continuing reconstruction efforts. He did not use the word spending because officials say the administration does not intend to seek any new funds for that. Bush also said the number of jobs went up by 4.6 million in the past 2.5 years, but if he started from the beginning of his presidency, that would have brought the net number of added jobs down to only 2 million over that 5-year period. Bush also made a pair of contradictory pledges on the budget. First, he said the budget deficit, which soared during his presidency, is on track to decline by half by the year 2009. However, he also urged a permanent extension of the tax cuts due to expire in 5 years. The Congressional Budget Office says that would send the budget deficit soaring after the year 2011. He repeatedly warned in the speech against the dangers of isolationism, but Democratic leadership has not called for any isolationist policies, and the polls show the American public has little interest in them. Bush also said he wants to strengthen math and science education and increase research budgets at federal labs. $2 or $3 in the new multi-billion dollar initiative to keep America competitive would actually fund business tax breaks. Two-thirds of the money, $4.6 billion, would be used to pay for tax credits that U.S. companies get for investing in research and development projects. Bush made a plea for cutting imports of oil, saying it's often imported from unstable parts of the world. However, the two biggest suppliers of oil to the U.S. are very stable neighbors, Canada and Mexico. Americans may drive cars in 2 decades that operate on pollution-free hydrogen or fuel made from grass and wood chips, but it will not be enough to significantly reduce U.S. oil imports from the Middle East. Bush said America was addicted to oil and needed to slash Middle East crude oil purchases by 75% by 2025. Environmental groups say that probably can't be reached unless the government makes significant other changes. This is Air America Radio.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on Air America Radio. Do you want to know how crazy it is here in Georgia? I very seldom talk about the crap that goes on in Georgia. And I just have to interject this right at the top of the program tonight. Georgia General Assembly is a collection of hillbillies and yahoos unlike anything anywhere. It's worse than Alabama. It's worse than Mississippi. The Democrats, even the racist Democrats, dominated Georgia politics, local Georgia politics, state Georgia state politics for, I don't know what, since Reconstruction. And the Democrats who were in control here during the last half of the 19th century and into the 20th century were the white men, were racist pigs, just absolute pigs. After the passage of a lot of civil rights laws, after the advent of Dr. King and so on and so forth, when a couple of really dedicated progressive editors at the Atlanta Journal and the Atlanta Constitution decided that Atlanta was not going to go up in flames a second time, things changed a bit here. The Democratic Party became less of a collection of white racists and more of, you know, representing Democratic Party ideals. So at the same time, the Democrat racists left the party and went into the Republican Party, where they were welcomed. The Republican Party, 40 years ago, was building its neo-Nazi base, and the Republican Party now is the American Nazi Party. Now, having said all that, because of the rigged elections here in Georgia in 2000, 2002, and 2004, where you know, war veterans like Max Cleland were defeated by a little piglet from central Georgia named Saxby Chambliss, who ran and hid when his number was called to go join the military. Cleland, of course, left three of his limbs on the ground in Vietnam. Our governor here had the election stolen from him, and on and on and on and on. The legislature flipped almost overnight from being Democrat-controlled to Republican-controlled. All right. Since the Republicans have taken power, and they are like I don't know, they're like 19-year-old sailors who've been at sea for 8 months and they're dropped off in Manila and given their VD shots and their prophylactics and they're told, go have fun, boys. That's what these Republicans in Georgia are like. It's like they're running madly through whorehouses. Only it's not. It's the public here in Georgia that the things they're doing are just insane. You'd have to go online, AJC.com, and take a look in the section of the online newspaper about what these hillbillies are doing, the laws these Republican jackboots are passing. All right. Now, I frankly don't give a damn. I really don't. I don't care anymore, you know, about Georgia politics. I couldn't care less. If we ever get legitimate, legal, verifiable voting back in the state, then I'll care. But I can't care as long as it's rigged. Well, you know, down that road lies total insanity, if not a burst head artery or something. So I don't care. That's my defense. I don't care. There are people in the state working to change it, and I wish them well. And I support them, and I applaud them, and I honor them. But I don't care. Okay? Do you understand that? Thank you. Now, get this. This is what the General Assembly does here. The Georgia House yesterday approved a bill that prevents state and local governments from banning their employees and students from verbal expression celebrating any public or legal holiday. That's right. They passed a law now. Oh, Christ, please help me. The bill's sponsor, some Republican freak ass from suburban Atlanta, somebody named Clay Cox. Think about that for a minute. He said, quote, simply put, in the state of Georgia, it's going to be okay to say Merry Christmas in the public workplace and in our schools. End quote. This is why this was passed. They passed a bill, you see. You talk about not me. I mean, yes. You see why I don't care? I don't give a heck, a damn, a hoot. Whoops. The vote was 136-25 in favor. The bill goes to the Senate for consideration. These hillbilly yahoos down here. See, last year, all over the country, but here in Georgia, in the zipper, you know, we're just below the buckle of the Bible Belt. We're the zipper of the Bible Belt. Last year, conservatives complained that merchants and governments were forbidding workers from wishing people Merry Christmas. Forcing people to say Happy Holidays. Remember all that nonsense? God, I hate these people. The Christian nutballs were saying that the secularists, that's me, are attempting to undermine expressions of Christian faith in public life, especially every December. No, we're not, you dumb bastards. We're just saying, get the Ten Commandments off the walls of the courthouse. That's all. Anyway, so based on this non-existent attack against the Christians, the poor, miserable Christians, oh, the poor babies. They're like the Jews in Germany in the 30s, aren't they? Oh, they're so persecuted. Next thing you know, we're going to be lining them up and shooting them, right? In response to this attack on Christmas, they passed this bill. The House did. It now goes to the Senate. Do you think the Georgia Senate, which is all, the whole state now is controlled by these American Nazis, do you think that they are going to exercise common sense logic, just end the stupidity? No. The Republican senators will pass this bill. So now it's a law. You can walk up to somebody and say, Merry Christmas! They're also working on a bill that will allow you to shoot people down in the street if you feel threatened. We have laws in Georgia now. You can shoot somebody in your house if you feel threatened. You know, unless it's a relative. You can shoot somebody in your car if you feel threatened, unless it's a relative. But now, they're going to make it legal. The NRA is pushing this one, not just here in Georgia, but all across the country, that if you feel threatened on the street, pull out your weapon and blow the son of a bitch away. It's very simple. But the Christmas thing. This freak, Clay Cox, think of that for a second. Clay Cox, that's almost like Peter Fever. Clay Cox said he heard from teachers, public employees, and students. See, a whole list. We're afraid to say Merry Christmas. Ah! But when he was asked for specifics, you know, give us a name, he provided nothing. He doesn't have to. He's an American Nazi. He can say anything he wants to say. And when questioned on it, well, I'm busy. Go away. It happened. I'm a Christian. I'm a Republican. I'm a Nazi. You take what I say to the bank. Don't challenge me. I'll have your ass hauled out of the gallery and taken downtown and booked. Cox said he heard from, Clay Cox. Woo! Said he heard from teachers, public employees, and students who are afraid to say Merry Christmas. Now, a Democrat who's in the General Assembly, a guy named Roger Bruce, Democrat from Atlanta, said, I'm just trying to understand why this is not covered by the federal law that allows freedom of speech. Well, yeah. That would be the standard reply, wouldn't it, Roger, to these American Nazis? But you saw what happened to freedom of speech in Washington, D.C., in the gallery of the People's House last night, because somebody wore a T-shirt. Another representative, this one's a Democrat, said he could see the effects of the national debate during the recent holiday season. This is what this Democrat dumb bastard said. You know, people would say to me, Merry Christmas, not with the joy of Christ, with not the joy of Christ in their heart, not with the joy of light come into a dark world, but as a weapon, as an axe, a banging on the door. Here, I'll show you. He says, as a Christian, I don't believe that's what my God and Savior wants me to do. You know, to just go up and pound somebody upside the damn head with a Merry Christmas, huh? See, I live in hell. No. I don't live in a slum in Lagos, Nigeria. I understand that. I don't live in a barrio someplace in some godforsaken country in South or Central America. I live in the United States. I do. But I live in American hell. This is Georgia. This is a place where these dumb bastards pass a law that says it's legal to wish someone Merry Christmas. And why do they do it?
A cowboy, a Christian cowboy. I look for Jesus all my days. And on the prairie or in the city, I'll help him round up all the strays.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet.
That's hard.
You do regular exercise.
That's harder.
You even get a colonoscopy.
The hardest.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks.
Now that's simple.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor, he loves you just the same. Santa Claus knows we're all God's children, that makes everything right.
22 past the hour. Oh, God, kill that. Please kill that. Jesus, where's the ice pick? In just a couple of minutes here, we'll get to our annual deconstruction of Raisin Brain's State of the Union speech. This year's lukewarm submission would be more appropriate called the State of the Nations I Have Invaded or Plan to Invade address. Did you notice there was virtually nothing in the speech about Katrina? I've said it before, and I'll say it again for emphasis. The response of the United States government to that disaster was based in pure, blatant, wide-eyed Ku Klux Klan racism. Do you understand that? Have those faces that swam literally and figuratively across our television screens those 4 or 5 horrific days after the levees busted, have those been white faces? Jesus Christ, are you kidding me? That situation would have been taken care of within hours. And what's the latest? The Katrina refugees who have been living in motel rooms now have 6 days to get the hell out. Tens of thousands of people. Bush's response, the Bush crime family's response to that was based in the kind of racism that white people in this country like to pretend. And I'm sorry, Mr. Miss Progressive, a white progressive, I don't mean to jump in your case like this, but let's get real just for a couple of minutes. I'm not talking about you, and I'm not talking about myself, although we white progressives are racist, we are. If we are good progressives, we fight against the racism every day. But come on, if you were born and reared in this country and you are white, you had inculcated in you a racism that is as difficult to excise as your fingerprints. Now, come on, let's just stipulate that and move on. Okay, we're moving on. The response by the Bush crime family to what occurred in New Orleans was purely and simply racist. And it's continuing. You know, he has written off, to the same extent that black Americans have written him off, the black community. You know, he doesn't give a damn. You know, I know he likes to point to his house Negroes and say, well, every time somebody calls me a racist, I point to, where'd that one go? Where'd Colin pop? That son of a bitch go out the back door. Who I got left? What's her name? The one that thinks I'm married to her. That's the only one I got left. Well. This regime is racist purely and simply. Anyway. He's totally given up even any pretense of caring about what happened to the people in New Orleans at all. Now, in the meantime, white folks, I was watching, was it CBS tonight? I'm starting to be fascinated by watching Bob Schieffer. I'm just wondering if he has any problem doing for Bush what Monica did for Bill. It's just, I realize this year Brokeback Mountain and all this other stuff, but dear Christ, Bob, come on. So I'm watching CBS News, and they interview 3 or 4 white people. Maybe there was a black person there. I have no idea. I couldn't help but notice the white people are pissed off. The white people in New Orleans are pissed off. So the white people are going to take it in the neck because New Orleans was a predominantly black city, a black mayor, a black everything. It was a black city, just like Atlanta. It's a black city. Now, we have whites that live here. New Orleans have whites that live. But when you have the power of this racist, federalist society, warmongering, sick bastard like Bush, the Bush crime family, against you, and you happen to be white, and you live in a predominantly black city, sorry, you're called collateral damage. That's what you're called. So nothing in the speech about Katrina, the worst natural disaster in the history of the United States. And if you look at any of the video footage, the huge mountains of debris and trash and death and disease still sitting there. And Bush went down there and said, well, it looks okay to me. Bring your family down here and party. anybody want to make me a hurricane? Little humor there. He's given up any pretense of... What did he say when he strode into the dark at right there near Jackson Square? What's that church? No matter what it takes, we're gonna rebuild this city. Jesus. Yeah. Okay. He took time to talk about malaria, about AIDS in Africa, about the evils of the child sex trade in third world nations. That he ought to talk about with Tom DeLay. But did he mention anything about saving the lives of our own citizens from the Gulf Coast, or as he likes to refer to it, that part of the world? Do you know what it's like? No, you don't. Neither do I. We have no idea what it's like to have your family destroyed, everything you ever had gone, your house a pile of rubble, no place to turn, no place to go. You can't even register with FEMA because you don't have any way to register. What are you going to do? Do it on your computer, for Christ's sake? Oh, my God.
If it keeps on raining, love is going to break.
It's good to see, be able to look in people's eyes and not see them all bloodshot.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is Larry King. Did you know there's finally a different form of vitamin E? Ester E, a unique form of natural E, captured for the first time in a supplement. It's the only E I take because only Ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body is ready to use it. And it's all natural, so it's readily absorbed. Take Ester E, like me, E-S-T-E-R-E. Advanced protection, Ester protection.
Look for Ester E and Ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
I had no idea premature aging started with freckles and sunspots. Had I known that, I would have used Activate a long time ago. I'm Tina, and I'm 38 and flawless.
I hated admitting my skin was leathery with blotchy age spots. The sooner I faced that reality, the sooner I used Activate. Activate stopped the spots. You just dab it on. Now I look like I did 10 years ago. I feel younger, my skin is fresh looking and smooth. My name is Linda, I'm 52 and flawless.
Activate reversed my age spots and gave my skin a youthful glow without any harsh chemicals. It's by far the best product I've ever used. It's easy and it works 24/7. My name is Brenda, and I'm 45 and flawless.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Actifade at 1-800-507-3610. That's 1-800-507-3610. Fade age spots on your face, hands, and neck. Call 1-800-507-3610. Ask how to get a free supply with your order. Call 1-800-507-3610.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 26 before the hour. The depths of the trickery of the Federalist Society and the neo-Nazis is unplumbable. Is that a word? You can't find the bottom to which these people will sink in order to embarrass progressives. What am I talking about? I don't know. That's just one possibility. But the Associated Press is now reporting that a new Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito split with the court's conservative section Wednesday night, and Alito joined with the other members of the court who are not hard right and refuse to let Missouri execute a death row inmate contesting lethal injection. Here's what the Associated Press says. Alito, handling his first case, sided with the inmate, Michael Taylor, who had won a stay from an appeals court early in the evening. Chief Justice Roberts and then Associate Justice Scalia and Clarence Thomas supported lifting the stay and killing the guy. But Alito joined the other five members in turning down Missouri's last-minute request to allow a midnight execution. Earlier in the day, Alito was sworn in for the second time, blah, 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 blah. Now, I don't know anything about this case. I know absolutely nothing. But Alito's first ruling is against executing somebody in the state of Missouri. Put that in your smoke and pipe it, as they say. But again, don't be fooled. Don't be tricked. Don't sit there and slap your forehead and say, oh, gosh, was I wrong? No, you were right. He's a neo-Nazi thug. But I'm telling you something. Tomorrow, on right-wing talk radio, which is 99.9999999% of talk radio, they're gonna take this story and run with it. You watch. All right, Bush. Bush's Satu speech last night. The utter contempt this bastard has for citizens and for the truth. Just utter contempt. Kathy and I were talking about that today. It doesn't make any difference. What was it we were talking about in the car specifically? Do you remember what it was? One of the things is this thing where he wants to, what does he want to use? Sawgrass for biodiesel? Not sawgrass. What is it, Kathy? What the hell is it?
I don't know.
Snotgrass?
Switchgrass.
What the hell is switchgrass?
It's the new corn, apparently.
The new corn.
He's tired of making corn economic.
Yeah, well, did
and
you...
And there's one I forgot to get that I'm going to try to get, a personal favorite that I don't know why, I guess because it was just so insane it slipped my mind, where he didn't want to have anyone creating human-animal hybrids, you know, like you said last night, like the island of Dr. Moreau. Like there's a real thread of, you know,
all right. Well,
running around or something.
Well, I don't know what switchgrass is. Don't send me an email. I don't care what it is. He's talking about something that what did he say, within the next 20 years or by 2020 or by 2090 or some such bat squeeze. Let me tell you something. Do you want to reduce our dependence on foreign oil tomorrow? Okay, that's an exaggeration. By next year? All Bush has to do is sign one of his famous executive orders mandating ordering. And in the interest of national security, this is how easy it is, in the interest of national security, that any car produced to drive on the roads and streets of America, starting with next year's models, you can't go back and correct the damage, but every car, every truck, every vehicle that uses fossil fuel, let's put it that way, has to have a 10% increase in mileage. Now, what's a 10% increase in mileage? If the average car gets 20 miles a gallon, it doesn't get that much. If the average vehicle gets 15 miles a gallon, that means an extra 10%, what did I say, 10% or 20%? What did I say? Did I say 10%? Oh, hell, you're not listening either. let's call it 10%. 10% increase in mileage. That would be a mile and a half a gallon. That's all. That could be done so easily. Oh, Jesus! That's all he has to do. So that means with the 2008 models, problem solved. Truly in the interest of national security. Is he going to do it? Oh, no. And that little talk last night about we're addicted to oil? No, you dumb bastard. Your backers are addicted to oil. The profits being made by the oil industry? Would you call them obscene? Would you call them hellish? No, here Americans are paying close to $2.50 a gallon for gasoline, and now I read that the gasoline refineries around the country are holding back on the production to keep the prices up. These sons of bitches, it just never stops, does it? But you go ahead, Mr. and Miss American Nazi, vote the Republican back into office. You silly, silly freak, you. But go ahead, at least Bush will make sure the queers can never get married, and that's all that counts. One day after Bush vowed to reduce America's dependence on Middle East oil by cutting imports from there 75% by 2025, his energy secretary and his national economic advisor said today that Bush didn't mean it literally. That's right. The son of a bitch didn't even make it through a 24-hour cycle. They had a conference call with reporters, according to Knight Ridder newspapers. And what the president meant, these two guys said, was that alternative fuels could displace an amount of oil imports equivalent to most of what America is expected to import from the Middle East in 2025. Jesus Christ. Oh. Hold on a second. I've got to cut my own throat here. Hold on just a minute. Oh. The President's State of the Union reference to Mideast oil made headlines nationwide Wednesday because of his assertion that America is addicted to oil, and we got to break this addiction. Bush vowed to fund research into better batteries for hybrid vehicles and more production of alternative fuel ethanol, yada yada. He pledged to move beyond a petroleum-based economy and make our dependence on Middle Eastern oil a thing of the past. Not exactly, it turns out. Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman said in this phone call today, this was purely an example. That's why the president used the words the Middle East, but he didn't really mean them. One administration official said Bush wanted to dramatize the issue in a way that, quote, every American sitting out there listening to the speech understands, end quote. Mr. and Miss Middle Class America, Republican, Bush supporter, these people hate you. They urinate all over you. They laugh at you. They laugh at you. They think you're a bunch of dumbasses because you are so easily manipulable. Well, the queers can't get married, and we believe in marriage, and we're going to stop abortions, and... Oh, you dummies. You dummies. Presidential advisor Dan Bartlett made a similar point in a briefing before the speech. Bartlett said, I think one of the biggest concerns the American people have is oil coming from the Middle East. It's a very volatile region. Okay. So? What does that non sequitur have to do with Bush's state? Sawgrass, huh? Now, what's it called? Wicked weed. You know, if they would just use hemp oil, this thing would be solved. Plus, we could all get high and just kind of kick back and, you know, wouldn't that be great? Whatever you didn't use in your gas tank or your hemp tank, you could just kick back and smoke. No, it doesn't work that way? All right. Here he is. Bush spent the first half of the State of the Union addressing the state of foreign unions, specifically those he has attacked or plans to attack in the very near future, but he started things off with a call for civility.
In a system of two parties, two chambers, and two elected branches.
Branches?
There will always be differences and debate.
No, there won't.
But even tough debates can be conducted in a civil tone.
No, they can't.
And our differences cannot be allowed to harden into anger.
Already there.
To confront the great issues before us. We must act in a spirit of goodwill and respect for one another.
And impeach you.
And I will do my part.
Yeah, okay. Cindy Sheehan is arrested for wearing a T-shirt displaying the number of Iraqi war dead, you dumb bastard. And by the way, when you talk about civility, when you're shooting a finger at reporters and getting Cheney to tell Patrick Leahy to go up himself, is that the kind of civil you're talking about? When was the last time a Democrat told a Cheney to go fornicate? Oh, never mind. Not a word about ending the war in Iraq. Not a word about Osama bin Laden. No, no, no. Bush threw up a bunch of straw men to attack, as if there was a Democrat alive suggesting we surrender to evil. And he continued to denigrate Islam, but they hate us because we buy houses, right?
In a time of testing, we cannot find security by abandoning our commitments and retreating within our borders.
Who's suggesting that?
If we were to leave these vicious attackers alone, they would not leave us alone.
They're all dead.
They would simply move the battlefield to our own shores.
Uh-huh.
There is no peace in retreat. And there is no honor in retreat. By allowing radical Islam to work its will, by leaving an assaulted world to fend for itself.
Assaulted?
We would signal to all that we no longer believe in our own ideals.
You're the one that assaulted the world!
But our enemies and our friends can be certain.
Yeah?
The United States will not retreat from the world, and we will never surrender to evil.
Retreat from the world? What does that mean? Emigrate to the moon? What the hell are you talking about? Retreat from... We would signal to all that we no longer believe in our own ideals. What are our ideals now? Preemptive war? Lies? Deceptions? Torture? Rendition? Quick break. We'll come back and finish this up, if I can. If you hear retching here in the studio, it is moi tossing dinner. Stick around. I'm Mike Molloy.
Clothing, and sometimes as Top Gun.
He cuts down trees, pollutes the air, and blows up things for fun. Dressed up in cowboy clothing, and sometimes as Top Gun.
Oh, I'm the president, and I'm okay. A bomb all night, and I drill all day. I cut down trees, and taxes too, especially for my pals. I'm really into marriage, but just for guys and gals.
He cuts down trees, and taxes too, especially for his pals. He's really into marriage, but just for guys and gals.
Oh, I'm the president and I'm okay. A bomb all night and a drill all day. I cut down trees, I cut down schools, and leave no child behind. What's 87 billion? I'm sure the kids don't mind.
The Mike Molloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Vacuuming isn't just about extending the life of your carpets. It's about creating a healthier home environment. That's one reason why 50,000 hotels and millions of people insist on my hypoallergenic 8-pound Orrick XL. Try my hypoallergenic Orrick XL free for 30 days or for free literature. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Because a clean home is a healthier home.
Sir, what is your name?
Dave.
Well, Dave, you're scaring the other passengers. I have to ask you to remove the ski mask.
I'd have to filter out the bad air. Some of those people look terrible.
Sir, the ski mask.
Okay. How do you stay healthy breathing airplane air?
I take Emergen-C every day. The powder in the little packets, loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
It's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost.
I gotta get Emergen-C. Until then, could you just drop my oxygen mask?
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
We'll be right back.
ask you to pass legislation to prohibit the most egregious abuses of medical research, human cloning in all its forms, creating or implanting embryos for experiments, creating human-animal hybrids, and buying, selling, or patenting human embryos.
Oh, Jesus. This was the weirdest comment since he said he wanted us to go to Mars. What the hell is he talking about? George, it's already being done. As a matter of fact, we already have hybrid tomatoes that carry mouse genes or pumpkins that have rat or pig things. Oh, Jesus. Oh, never mind. All right. Does anyone out there believe we're winning this murderous illegal war in Iraq? Can I see some hands? No? Oh, one of the right-wing lurkers is raising... Oh, he's not raising his hand? Oh, he's doing what to himself? Oh, okay, never mind. How much is this costing? In gallons of blood and U.S. dollars. Did the families of the soldiers who have been murdered by George Bush believe that we're winning? Do the families of the slaughtered Iraqis believe that this is for the good of their country? And you notice he said nothing about an exit strategy. No, we'll stand down when they stand up. Clap, trap. Guess we'll none of that. Here he is on Iraq.
Our work in Iraq is difficult because our enemy is brutal. But that brutality has not stopped the dramatic progress of a new democracy.
Progress?
In less than 3 years, the nation has gone from dictatorship to liberation.
Yeah!
To sovereignty.
Yeah!
To a constitution.
Yeah!
To national elections.
White shoes after Labor Day!
At the same time, our coalition has been relentless in shutting off terrorist infiltration.
Yeah, it's all stopped!
Clearing out insurgent strongholds.
They're all gone!
Turning over territory to Iraqi security forces.
Might as well the Boy Scouts.
I'm confident in our plan for victory.
Plan for victory?
I am confident in the will of the Iraqi people.
Yeah.
I am confident in the skill and spirit of our military fellow citizens. We are in this fight to win, and we are winning.
Yeah! Yes, we are! And anybody that says we aren't is a poo-poo head. Was I the only one who got chills when he spoke directly to the people of Iran? Buckle up, Iranians. Sounds to me like you're next on the liberation list.
The Iranian government is defying the world with its nuclear ambitions, and the nations of the world must not permit the Iranian regime to gain nuclear weapons. America will continue to rally the world to confront these threats. Tonight, let me speak directly to the citizens of Iran. America respects you, and we respect your country.
But we're going to kill you anyway.
We respect your right to choose your own future.
But we're going to kill you.
And win your own freedom.
But we're going to kill you.
And our nation hopes one day to be the closest of friends.
We're going to kill
you. Free
and
democratic Iran.
But we're going to kill you. We're going to take your oil and rape your women and blow up your children. There are going to be all sorts of half-breed Persian Americans running around in the next, 2 years. We're going to kill you. I want to address this to the citizens of Iran. You have something we want. Oil. We're coming. To the citizens of Iran, we love you. We respect you. We like your rugs. He didn't dwell much on illegal spying because, what could he say? But his attempt at a defense is ludicrous. And we're going to share that one with you when we come back. We just have a couple more here, so stick around. And we are going to touch a little bit on the Cindy Sheehan story. And, of course, the 1984 reading. What else we got? Your phone calls, I guess. Do we have anything else tonight? Look, what do you expect? This is a two-person operation down here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, right? I live in a state where they have passed a bill today. The Georgia House passed a bill that mandates your right, if you come down here, to say Merry Christmas to somebody. Jesus. I don't know. Maybe it's the right time this weekend to roll up a fatty and go sit on the steps of the Georgia General Assembly and just get stoned. I mean, I don't know.
Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
Within the first minutes of the State of the Union, the President framed the debate as a choice between moving forward versus retreating, leadership versus isolationism. But it was Bush who retreated into his own ideological isolation chamber, repeating obsolete arguments like a scratched record. On foreign policy, W. first parroted the neocons' discredited thesis, quote, democracies respect the rights of their neighbors and join the fight against terror, only to follow it up with a declaration that democratically elected Hamas, an avowed terrorist organization bent on the destruction of Israel, has to recognize its neighbor Israel and reject terrorism. And if this weren't absurd enough, he went on to say that the world must thwart Iran's nuclear ambitions, even though the Iranian people overwhelmingly elected a radical president who supports terrorist organizations, the destruction of Israel, and the acquisition of nuclear weapons. Maybe after Florida and Ohio, Bush doesn't actually understand the definition of democracy. I'm Katrina Vandenhoevel for Air America. For more, go to thenation.com.
The world can't wait. Drive out the Bush regime. We all heard Bush's State of the Union address Tuesday. The State of the Union is a state of emergency. Get on the bus. Stop what you're doing right now. Go to worldcan'twait.org and get your bus ticket, your plane ticket, and be in Washington, D.C. on Saturday when we demand Bush step down. The Bush regime is immoral, dangerous, and indictably criminal. We must stop it. It's time to take to the streets. Don't stop with bringing yourself to D.C. Bring your friends. Organize a bus for your block, your church, your school. Get everyone you know on the bus. It's that simple. Be in D.C. Saturday and demand Bush step down. The future is riding on it. See you in Washington, D.C. at 17th and Constitution at 11 a.m. Saturday. Bush lied. Bush spied. Bush stepped down. Get on the bus. Call 866-973-4463 and visit www.worldcan'twait.org.
Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The trial of Saddam Hussein heard testimony from five prosecution witnesses today. Trial will resume tomorrow. Saddam did not attend today's session, neither did his lawyers. They're boycotting this trial, contending the newly appointed judge is biased against Saddam Hussein. This is just the latest problem to plague the tumultuous trial, which has in its previous eight sessions seen numerous delays, outbursts by Saddam, and a shakeup among the judges. The current chief judge is pressing ahead with proceedings with court-appointed defense lawyers and only three of the eight defendants present. Saddam and his co-defendants being tried for the revenge killings of more than 140 Shiite villagers after a 1982 attempt to assassinate Saddam. Samuel Alito was sworn in as a Supreme Court justice at a White House ceremony today. His first act, a procedural vote to refuse permission for Missouri to immediately execute a death row inmate with a stay in place. Today's oath was ceremonial. He was actually sworn in yesterday, so he could start working immediately. The Chief Justice administered the oath yesterday, allowing Alito to sit with the other court members at the State of the Union. But yesterday, Alito was quickly confronted with emergency appeals in three death row cases, and he bowed out, so the other colleagues settled those. Orientation for the new justice will be a bit more difficult than usual. The court is in the middle of a nine-month term and has already heard arguments in dozens of cases. Democrat John Kerry says George Bush missed an opportunity last night when he failed to challenge the American public to make sacrifices. Kerry says it is the Bush administration that is addicted to oil. He said when the administration was given the chance to write an energy bill last year, it was the energy companies that actually did the writing. Democrat Joe Biden says he's disappointed Bush didn't tell us the plan for Iraq. And Republican Senator John McCain complained the Bush speech was light on specifics about overhauling health care. Bush started a three-day trip to follow up on the speech, the first stop, the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee. Hamas rejected Bush's call for it to renounce violence, disarm, and recognize Israel. Bush repeated that in his State of the Union last night. In Syria, a top official of the militant Palestinian group says it's not changing its principles. They say Bush should deal with Hamas as it is. They say the Palestinian people exercised their democratic choice in the recent elections and picked Hamas. They say the U.S. president should accept that reality. This is Air America Radio News.
About 7 past the hour. WhiteRoseSociety.org, which is a website run by Ben Birch, who archives this program and many, many, many liberal programs so that you're not locked to your radio or, in our case here, for our listeners in New York, locked to your computer. Well, unless you have XM, which is a good idea, too. But anyway, if for people who like to download the program to your iPod, listen to it at your convenience, WhiteRoseSociety.org provides that, and it's strictly a volunteer situation. I remember when Ben started this. When was it, Kathy? About 4 years ago? 4 or 5 years ago? Well, weren't we the only program that he had? Didn't he start with us? I think he started with us.
I think he started with all of IE America.
IE America?
I believe. And so that was a few shows.
Well, he'll send me an email but about that. But anyway, it's expanded now to the point where there's an awful lot of good radio available through WhiteRoseSociety.org. And you know what I'm leading up to. He's having a fund drive right now. They need some money. Everybody needs money. But this is the age of Bush. You know, we don't have the wealthy think tanks behind us because rich liberals don't give a damn. They live in an isolated world. They don't care. Rich conservatives do care because they know that if they use their money, they will control that world. Rich liberals could control the world, too, but they're more interested in sailing their boats and spending their money. And you know, not that I give a damn. I could, you know, again, it's another the second type. I couldn't care less. I don't care what liberals, rich liberals do. Not my business. But it's the same old story. You know, if you run a progressive or a liberal a website or think tank or like White Rose Society, you're constantly walking truth out, common dreams. It just goes on and on, right? You're constantly walking around with your hand. Democratic Underground, a Buzzfeed, you got your hand out all the time. You have to have your hand out. You got to. Because rich liberals don't care. They don't get involved. They don't give a damn. They don't care. Hey, I got mine, Jack. Screw you. We're in this on our own. Do you understand that? Yeah, we're in this on our own. So anyway, all of that having said, see, I get off on these rants so easy because I am so pissed off at Democrats and liberals, rich liberals mostly. It's very hard to get really pissed off at conservatives. They're just brain dead monkeys. Now, I don't like American Nazis. They still drive me crazy. But anyway, if you can. Send a couple of bucks. I think Ben uses PayPal. Do it, all right? Just support that website, because if you don't and it goes, you know, I don't have to tell you, you know. We didn't support the Democratic Party when we had a chance to support real Democrats, and look what happened. We lost that. It's been handed over to Republican Light, and it's now an ineffectual party, right? So, you know, it's the old story, use it or lose it. Right? Come on. This is so simple. It's so simple. Use it or lose it. Whether it is your political party, or your girlfriend or boyfriend, or your favorite website that depends on money, use it or lose it. You're not a very good fundraiser, Malloy. You're yelling at people. I know. I'm really crappy at this. But go to WhiteRoseSociety.org and click on the appropriate clicks and send Ben $5, $10, $20. And if you're rich and you're liberal and you're listening to this, how about doing something nice for change? You know, just you've got that platinum Amex card, right? Why don't you ding it for $10,000 and send it to White Rose? Back to Bush, he didn't dwell much on his illegal spying because, well, what could he say? Hi, I'm your president and I'm a lawbreaker and I should be impeached. No, he didn't say that. But his attempt at a defense was ludicrous. Defending the surveillance program as crucial in a time of war, Bush said that, what did he say? Previous presidents have used the same constitutional authority he did. And federal courts have approved the use of that authority. Bush didn't name names, but apparently he was reiterating the argument offered earlier this month by his Tejano, Alberto Gonzalez, who invoked Lincoln and Wilson and Roosevelt for their use of executive authority. But, you know, what Bush is unaware of, because he's a dumb bastard, is that warrantless surveillance within the United States for national security purposes was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1972. You know, that's after Lincoln and Wilson and Roosevelt. But George Bush is a dumb bastard. Okay? He is the dumbest bastard ever to occupy the office. So how would he know what the Supreme Court did in 1972? Now, after the Supreme Court did that, that led to the 1978 passage of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. The Supreme Court ruling and the Church Committee hearings and COINTELPRO, and when it became clear what this megalomaniac psychopath Dick Nixon was doing to the Constitution. Republicans always do this to the Constitution. So, 1978, the FISA Act, that Bush essentially urinates on and said, no, I can do it. Dick Nixon said, if the president does it, it's not illegal. And if Bush is claiming the Clinton did it too defense that these right-wing, knuckle-dragging, half-witted neocon talk show hosts use, that won't wash either. Conservative media figures have often pointed to the 1995 testimony of then-Deputy Attorney General Jamie Gorelick before the House Intelligence Committee as proof that Bush or that Clinton asserted the same authority as Bush regarding warrantless surveillance. But unlike electronic surveillance, the physical searches to which Gorelick referred were not restricted by FISA at the time of her 1994 testimony. Does that make it right? No, but it makes it legal. Throw in a few lies about informing Congress and a straw man implying those opposed to his illegal spying are hoping that America will be attacked, and you've got one of the weakest Nazi-like defenses for illegal activity since Nixon proclaimed, if the president does it, then it's not illegal.
So to prevent another attack, based on authority given to me by the Constitution and by statute.
Two lies.
I have authorized a terrorist surveillance program to aggressively pursue the international communications of suspected al-Qaeda operatives and affiliates to and from America.
Terrorist surveillance program?
Previous presidents have used the same constitutional authority I have.
Lie three.
And federal courts have approved the use of that authority. Appropriate members of Congress have been kept informed.
Lie number four.
The terrorist surveillance program has helped prevent terrorist attacks.
Lie number five.
It remains essential to the security of America.
Lie six.
If there are people inside our country who are talking with al-Qaeda, we want to know about it because we will not sit back and wait to be hit again.
No, we won't. By God, we're going to strike first with the power and fury of Jesus Christ. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. I'm sorry. We're not going to sit back and wait to be hit again. Yeah, because that's what us evil liberals want. Now, what, 2 minutes ago you were going to change the tone? Isn't that what you said, dumb bastard? Four, five, six, seven lies in a 44-second soundbite. Unbelievable. And this complete bastardization of language, whether you call it newspeak, doublespeak, horse hockey, or whatever you want to call it. I have authorized a terrorist surveillance program. Yeah. Now, having decimated, just absolutely destroyed the black ink in the budget, the surplus that Clinton gave him, there are no new lofty programs to throw around. And Rove did his best to spin the 4.6 million new jobs into positive news, even though, according to JobWatch.com, recent job gains, quote, lag far behind historical norms. Last year's new jobs represent a gain of 1.5%. Now, that is by any standard, that is a sluggish growth rate. You know, growth rate like that needs an injection of Metamucil real fast, doesn't it? Huh? Over the last half century, the only 12-month spans with job growth as low as that were those that occurred during a recession. And what Bush didn't say was that overall wages were lower last year, falling about 2%. Wages have fallen every single year this rat bastard has been in office. So those taking these new jobs were obviously forced to accept less pay, putting the lie to the idea that Bush's tax cuts for the wealthy are somehow creating a job boon. It's all lies. And before somebody says, Mike, how can you call him a bastard, a rat bastard, an evil bastard, a dirty bastard? He's the president. No, he's not. No, he's not. I never called Nixon a bastard because Nixon was elected. I called him a murderer, which he was, and a liar and a sneak and a thief, but never a bastard. Illegitimate. This one is illegitimate.
In the last 2.5 years, America has created 4.6 million new jobs.
Woo-hoo!
More than Japan and the European Union combined.
Wow.
In the last 5 years, the tax relief you passed has left $880 billion in the hands of American workers, investors, small businesses, and families.
You liar.
And they have used it to help produce more than 4 years of uninterrupted economic growth.
You liar.
If we do nothing, American families will face a massive tax increase they do not expect and will not welcome. Because America needs more than a temporary expansion, we need more than temporary tax relief. I urge the Congress to act responsibly and make the tax cuts permanent.
No, stupid bastard, don't do that. Go back and work on what you said. If we do nothing, American families will face a massive tax increase they do not expect. That's called the alternative minimum tax, George. Why don't you address that? Why don't you work on that instead of making the tax cuts to the wealthy permanent? Oh, you lying bastard.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's Massaging Gel Insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Hi, I'm David Orrick. The way I see it, there's more to vacuuming than picking up the dirt that Spot tracked in. Even more critical is the dust that can carry germs and those nasty allergens. Try a hypoallergenic 8-pound Orrick XL free for 30 days or for free literature. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Because when it comes to dust, you can trap it in my vacuum or let your loved ones breathe it in. What's your pleasure?
your money grow. You know, it compounds over time, which means money can grows and grows bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, that's the way it works. All right, we're getting down to the nub here. Bush last night. Talk about Orwellian doublespeak, and stick around in about 15 minutes or so. We will have tonight's segment of 1984. Bush's renewable energy and energy efficiency budgets really took some hard hits in his 2006 budget. A $6 million cut in biomass and biorefinery systems research and development, an 18% funding cut for every alternative energy source he touts. This unconscionable bastard stands there and talks about this stuff. Who reads budgets, right? Do you know about this? I didn't. Kathy did the research. Does the average American sitting out there, the knuckle dragger who is watching his entire life vanish thanks to the American Nazi Party, but by God the queers can't marry. George is a godly man. Jesus loves him, so I'll vote for him again. Well, you can't. Yeah. Oh, all right. So listen to this. He cuts funding. Oh, just listen to him.
America is addicted to oil.
So is your mama.
Which is often imported from unstable parts of the world.
Oh.
The best way to break this addiction is through technology.
Yeah, you know something about...
We must also change how we power our automobiles. We will increase our research in better batteries for hybrid and electric cars and in pollution-free cars that run on hydrogen.
Better batteries.
We will also fund additional research in cutting-edge methods of producing ethanol, not just from corn, but from wood chips and stalks or switchgrass. Our goal is to make this new kind of ethanol practical and competitive within 6 years.
Oh, we're not going to fund the research or development, but it sure is fun to talk about it. I like to think about cars running on grass and stuff. Kind of reminds me of the old Cheech and Chong movies. What was I saying about addiction? I forget. I'm getting kind of hungry. What? Oh, my God. We must also change how we power our automobiles. The hypocrisy here is so thick. It just stinks up the House chamber. It stinks up the Capitol. It stinks up Washington, D.C. It stinks up Northern Virginia and Maryland. It stinks up the East Coast. It spreads and stinks up the Midwest and the Southeast. It stinks up the entire country, this filthy, filthy hypocrisy. America is addicted to oil. Because, oh Christ, I have to sit here and really bite my tongue because America is addicted to oil, George, because your energy policy was written by the oil companies. Those are the notes and minutes of the meetings, George, that you won't release to anybody. You know, when Cyborg Man sat down with people like Ken Lay and the heads of ExxonMobil and Standard Oil or whatever the hell, just all of them. America is addicted to oil, chuckle nuts, because the oil industry writes energy policy. Do you not understand that, you dumb bastard?
As part of your master plan, fooling your congregation and petroleum domination, justifying your new invasion with moral indignation. Got the nuclear bombs, got the chemical stockpile.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I
thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards, with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ah, vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
I had no idea premature aging started with freckles and sunspots. Had I known that, I would have used Activate a long time ago. I'm Tina, and I'm 38 and flawless.
I hated admitting my skin was leathery with blotchy age spots. The sooner I faced that reality, the sooner I used Activate. Activate stopped the spots. You just dab it on. Now I look like I did 10 years ago. I feel younger, my skin is fresh looking and smooth. My name is Linda, I'm 52, and flawless.
Activate reversed my age spots and gave my skin a youthful glow without any harsh chemicals. It's by far the best product I've ever used. It's easy and it works 24/7. My name is Brenda, and I'm 45 and flawless.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Activate at 1-800-507-3610. That's 1-800-507-3610. Fade age spots on your face, hands, and neck. Call 1-800-507-3610. Ask how to get a free supply with your order. Call 1-800-507-3610.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's Massaging Gel Insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
We'll be right back.
bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. Almost finished here. Just a little more of Bush's backwards newspeak. While this freak stresses the importance of teaching math and science, he has actually cut science education funding, according to Think Progress .org research. Bush proposed the first cut in education spending in a decade. His budget for fiscal year 2006 proposed, quote, the first cut in overall federal education spending in 10 years. According to Think Progress, this criminal administration requested a reduction of $500 million from the current spending plan. And his No Child Left Behind comedy has actually hurt science education by testing exclusively on math and reading. Some teachers are being told to stop teaching science and get back to reading and math. That's according to Gerald Wheeler, who's the executive director of the National Science Teachers Association. That was quoted in Business Week. National Science Teachers Association? Oh, God, that sounds like a communist organization, doesn't it? They certainly probably hate Jesus.
We need to encourage children to take more math and science and to make sure those courses are rigorous enough to compete with other nations. We made a good start in the early grades with the No Child Left Behind Act, which is raising standards and lifting test scores across our country.
Yeah.
Tonight I propose to train 70,000 high school teachers to lead advanced placement courses in math and science.
Okay, let's begin.
Bring 30,000 math and science professionals to teach in classrooms.
Okay, let's go.
And give early help to students who struggle with math
so
they have a better chance at good high-wage jobs.
That don't exist in this country. All right, let's go. Let's do it. Okay, you propose training 70,000 high school teachers. All right, let's go. Hi-yo! Let's go, let's go, let's go. Train them? How are you going to pay them? You just slashed the budget by $500 million. You lying bastard. Now, the rest of the speech was more insipid Peter Fever nonsense about hopeful societies and of course, Bush's laughingly bizarre and sick comparison of himself to Martin Luther King and President Lincoln. Oh, Jesus. So we end tonight with Bush's little poke, you'll pardon the expression, at gay rights and a few measly words in one sentence about Katrina victims. Did you know that only pessimists care about gay rights? Did you know that?
Many Americans, especially parents, still have deep concerns about the direction of our culture and the health of our most basic institutions. They're concerned about unethical conduct by public officials.
They're all yours.
And discouraged by activist courts that try to redefine marriage.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
They worry about children in our society who need direction and love.
Yeah.
And about fellow citizens still displaced by natural disaster.
What?
And about suffering caused by treatable diseases. As we look at these challenges, we must never give in to the belief that America is in decline.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Or that our culture is doomed to unravel.
Oh, no, no, won't do that.
The American people know better than that.
Yeah.
We have proven the pessimists wrong before, and we will do it again.
Yeah, and as far as the realists are concerned, screw them. I live in fantasy land. Ding dong, ding dong. Boola, boola, boola. Watch me dance around with the water rings on my back. Hey, meet my Tejano. Hello. Oh, look down there in front. Look down there in front. There's Justice Alito. Hi, Justice Alito. Boola, 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 boola. We have proven the pessimists wrong before, and we do it again. When did you do it the first time? Activist courts that tried to redefine marriage. Ooh. Good God. This is, his comments last night are a perfect lead-in to our reading tonight. We were going to read something from the island of Dr. Moreau, you know, scary half-human hybrid animals, but we're reading something that's scary enough as it is, trust me. Now, remember last night, Winston's at work, and his job is to alter the past, which alters the present. Winston glanced across the hall. In the corresponding cubicle on the other side, a small, precise-looking, dark-chinned man named Tillotson was working steadily away, with a folded newspaper on his knee and his mouth very close to the mouthpiece of the speakwrite. He had the air of trying to keep what he was saying a secret between himself and the telescreen. He looked up, and his spectacles darted a hostile flash in Winston's direction. Winston hardly knew Tillotson and had no idea what work he was employed on. People in the records department did not readily talk about their jobs. In the long, windowless hall with its double row of cubicles and its endless rustle of papers and hum of voices murmuring into speakwrites, there were quite a dozen people whom Winston did not even know by name, though he daily saw them hurrying to and fro in the corridors or gesticulating in the two-minute hate. He knew that in the cubicle next to him, the little woman with sandy hair toiled day in and day out simply at tracking down and deleting from the press the names of people who had been vaporized and were therefore considered never to have existed. There was a certain fitness in this, since her own husband had been vaporized a couple of years earlier. And a few cubicles away, a mild, ineffectual, dreamy creature named Ampleforth, with very hairy ears and a surprising talent for juggling with rhymes and meters, was engaged in producing garbled versions, definitive texts they were called, of poems which had become ideologically offensive, but which for one reason or another were to be retained in the anthologies. And this hall, with its 50 workers or thereabouts, was only one subsection, a single cell, as it were, in the huge complexity of the records department. Beyond, above, below, were other swarms of workers engaged in an unimaginable multitude of jobs. There were the huge printing shops with their sub-editors, their typography experts, and their elaborately equipped studio for the faking of photographs. There were the teleprogramming section with its engineers, its producers, and its teams of actors specially chosen for their skill in imitating voices. There were the armies of reference clerks whose job was simply to draw up lists of books and periodicals which were due for recall. There were the vast repositories where the corrected documents were stored and the hidden furnaces where the original documents were destroyed. And somewhere or other, quite anonymous, there were the directing brains who coordinated this whole effort and laid down the lines of policy which made it necessary that this fragment of the past should be preserved, that one falsified, and that one rubbed out of existence. And the records department, after all, was itself only a single branch of the Ministry of Truth, whose primary job was not to reconstruct the past, but to supply the citizens of Oceania with newspapers, films, textbooks, telestream programs, plays, novels, with every conceivable kind of information, instruction, or entertainment, from a statue to a slogan, from a lyric poem to a biological treatise, and from a child's spelling book to a Newspeak dictionary. And the ministry had not only to supply the multifarious needs of the party, but also to repeat the whole operation at a lower level for the benefit of the proletariat. There was a whole chain of separate departments dealing with proletarian literature, music, drama, and entertainment generally. Here were produced rubbishy newspapers containing almost nothing except sport, crime, and astrology, sensational five-cent novelettes, films oozing with sex, and sentimental songs which were composed entirely by mechanical means on a special kind of kaleidoscope known as a versificator. There was even a whole subsection, pornosec, it was called in Newspeak, engaged in producing the lowest kind of pornography, which was sent out in sealed packets, and which no party member, other than those who worked on it, was permitted to look at. Three messages had slid out of the pneumatic tube while Winston was working, but they were simple matters, and he had disposed of them before the 2 minutes hate interrupted him. When the hate was over, he returned to his cubicle, took the Newspeak dictionary from the shelf, pushed the speak right to one side, cleaned his spectacles, and settled down to his main job of the morning. Winston's greatest pleasure in life was in his work, Most of it was a tedious routine, but included in it, there were also jobs so difficult and intricate that you could lose yourself in them, as in the depths of mathematical problems. Delicate pieces of forgery in which you had nothing to guide you except your knowledge of the principles of Ingsoc and your estimate of what the party wanted you to say. Winston was good at this kind of thing. On occasion, he had even been entrusted with the rectification of the Times' leading articles, which were written entirely in Newspeak. He unrolled the message that he had set aside earlier. It ran, Times 3.12.83, reporting BB Day order, double plus ungood refs, unpersons, rewrite, full wise, unsub, anti-filing. In old speak, or standard English, this might be rendered, the reporting of Big Brother's order for the day in the Times of December 3, 1983 is extremely unsatisfactory and makes references to non-existent persons. Rewrite it in full and submit your draft to higher authority before filing. Winston read through the offending article. Big Brother's order for the day, it seemed, had been chiefly devoted to praising the work of an organization known as FFCC, which supplied cigarettes and other comforts to the sailors in the floating fortresses. A certain Comrade Withers, a prominent member of the inner party, had been singled out for special mention and awarded a decoration, the Order of Conspicuous Merit Second Class. 3 months later, FFCC had suddenly been dissolved with no reasons given. One could assume that Withers and his associates were now in disgrace, but there had been no report of the matter in the press or on the telescreen. That was to be expected, since it was unusual for political offenders to be put on trial or even publicly denounced. The great purges involving thousands of people, with public trials of traitors and thought criminals who made abject confessions of their crimes and were afterwards executed, were special showpieces, not occurring oftener than once in a couple of years. More commonly, people who had incurred the displeasure of the party simply disappeared and were never heard of again. One never had the smallest clue as to what had happened to them. In some cases, they might not even be dead. Perhaps 30 people personally known to Winston, not counting his parents, had disappeared at one time or another. Winston stroked his nose gently with a paperclip. In the cubicle across the way, Comrade Tillotson was still crouching secretively over his speakwrite. He raised his head for a moment. Again, the hostile spectacle flash. Winston wondered whether Comrade Tillotson was engaged on the same job as himself. It was perfectly possible. So tricky a piece of work would never be entrusted to a single person. On the other hand, to turn it over to a committee would be to admit openly that an act of fabrication was taking place. Very likely, as many as a dozen people were now working away on rival versions of what Big Brother had actually said, and presently, some master brain in the inner party would select this version or that, would re-edit it, and set it in motion the complex process of cross-referencing that would be required, and then the chosen lie would pass into the permanent records and become truth.
The system from where they are. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you take vitamin E, listen up. This is Larry King to tell you about a different form of vitamin E, Ester E. I take Ester E because it's not like any other vitamin E. Only Ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body is ready to use it. And because it's all natural, it's readily absorbed. So do what I do. Take Ester E. E-S-T-E-R-E. Advanced protection. Ester protection.
Look for Ester E and Ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. In the time you own three or four other vacuums, my 8-pound Orrick XL will still be going strong. But you're going to love an Orrick XL for another reason. It's hypoallergenic. Whatever it picks up stays inside the bag. So try an Orrick XL free for 30 days or for free literature, call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. With an Orrick XL, there's never a foul odor or a cloud of dust in your face.
Mm-hmm.
every time we use a homegrown fuel, we'll be going helping our farmers. Someday a president is going to pick up the crop report, and they're going to say we're less dependent on foreign sources of energy.
And that'll be just a wondrous day. Oh, God, I'm getting sexually aroused just thinking about it. Woo! Oh, George, talk to me, baby. Talk to me. Tell me about switchgrass. Oh, Jesus. Switchgrass. Doesn't that sound obscene? Huh? What was he talking about? Porno and stuff? Switchgrass. Let's do some phone calls. Elise is calling from Memphis, Tennessee. She's been holding on forever. Thanks for your patience, Elise.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Was that Molly singing?
Yes, ma'am.
That was so cute.
Wasn't it?
I did not miss that.
Molly singing? That was the Rolling Stones.
No, not then. Earlier.
Oh. Earlier?
I
no,
heard a little baby singing while you were talking.
No, Molly's sound asleep.
No, I didn't think she would be there. I thought maybe it was in some other form of communication. Okay. I was just calling to let you know that this man is really gone too far.
Yeah, yes.
He and his people.
Yes.
His cronies. I mean, when I saw Alito on TV,
mm-hmm.
this day, you know, accepting his Supreme Court nomination.
Right.
And then I saw that that man, I don't remember his name, who took Greenspan's place. And then I saw Roy Blunt taking, what's his name, Tom DeLay's
right.
majority's place. And I was thinking, oh, these people, this man is aligning all of his people in all of these powerful positions.
Mm-hmm.
He's really getting it, and I mean, we've come to a point as people, the majority of people, I think, are disillusioned, even those, if they got any sense, who even voted for Bush should, you know, they say some people who are sick can't even recognize it. That's real bad.
Uh-huh. But, well, you know what you're doing now, Elise. You're doing what Bush said. He said the pessimists never win, or they're always...
I wasn't through.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm not, I'm very, hey, but you can't help. I mean, I went and bought a big old thing of beer.
Good for you. God, I wish I had some right now.
Not tonight, but this was the last night, just
yeah.
looking at it.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, now, wait a minute. Did you drink beer while you were listening to him speak?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did you get a little bit tipsy?
Not really. It
no?
was just you know, something to calm my nerves.
Beer does me very quick. You know, candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker.
I know it.
Mm-hmm.
You need some beer. I bet you there are going to be a lot of alcoholics and addicts running around while that man is in power.
I hear you. Oh, God, Elise, what are we going
to
do?
I'm sorry for sounding so pessimistic, but we Democrats have to really do something. This is nothing to me. What I see is another form of slavery. And by God, I fought 40 years just to get a little respect.
I hear you.
And now he's taking not just America, but the whole world is in peril and are affected by his politics and dictatorship. So it looks like we're going to be like that. I feel like we're like those people in Syria or something who can't say anything without getting arrested.
We need to organize.
We have to.
We need to organize on the lowest level. That's the city council, the election, the board of elections, the board of education, the water commissioner board, whatever it's called. That's where we need to start. We need to put the Democrats in there.
Well, I'm starting out right here in my neighborhood, and that's
go.
What I do.
All right.
Out here.
Well, Elise, just keep the spirit alive, okay?
I will. Thank you.
All right, Elise. I appreciate you checking in. We need to get all new Democrats who are really Democrats, and we need to learn. We need to get the 20-somethings and the 30-somethings who get into these elective offices on a local level and learn how our system works and then slowly work their way up. We can do it. We can do it. 15, 20 years, a snap.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
The world can't wait. Drive out the Bush regime. We all heard Bush's State of the Union address Tuesday. The State of the Union is a state of emergency. Get on the bus. Stop what you're doing right now. Go to worldcan'twait.org and get your bus ticket, your plane ticket, and be in Washington, D.C. on Saturday when we demand Bush step down. The Bush regime is immoral, dangerous, and indictably criminal. We must stop it. It's time to take to the streets. Don't stop with bringing yourself to D.C. Bring your friends. Organize a bus for your block, your church, your school. Get everyone you know on the bus. It's that simple. Be in D.C. Saturday and demand Bush step down. The future is riding on it. See you in Washington, D.C. at 17th and Constitution at 11 a.m. Saturday. Bush lied. Bush spied. Bush stepped down. Get on the bus. Call 866-973-4463 and visit www.worldcan'twait.org.
Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. West Virginia Governor Joe Manchin has shut down all coal mining in the state because of safety concerns. It's not clear how long the shutdown will last. Manchin made the announcement following three more accidents Wednesday that killed two miners. Both deadly accidents happened in Boone County. One miner died when a safety wall fell, while the second was killed when a bulldozer hit a natural gas line, sparking a fire that killed him. A third accident caused minor injuries in Kanawha County. With Wednesday's two deaths, 16 miners have now died in West Virginia since the start of the year. President Bush took to the road Wednesday to promote the themes of his State of the Union address. At a speech in Nashville, Bush said the U.S. will continue to take a strong lead in the global war on terror. He vowed to remain on the hunt for leaders of the Al-Qaeda terror network. Bush again defended the ongoing U.S. military operation in Iraq. He argued that the world is more secure without Saddam Hussein in power in Iraq. In the U.S., Bush said the American economy is roaring, calling it the envy of the world. But despite what the president says, lawmakers are nervously eyeing higher gas prices. Correspondent Terry Moore says continued record oil industry profits are fueling the anxiety.
Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Specter opened a Senate hearing by saying it just may be time to legislate in the field of rising energy prices.
We intend to do something about it.
California Democrat Dianne Feinstein suggested that Congress consider a windfall profits tax on big oil. New York Democrat Chuck Schumer cited President Bush's State of the Union admission that the U.S. is addicted to oil.
This administration's addicted to oil companies, and we're not going to achieve energy independence until the administration breaks its addiction.
Oil company executives declined invitations to testify, prompting grumbling by some senators about issuing subpoenas for future hearings. I'm Terry Moore on Capitol Hill.
Former President Jimmy Carter is one of many praising the life of Coretta Scott King. He said Mrs. King and her father-in-law gave him great advice.
She and Daddy King kind of adopted me and supported me through a very difficult campaign for president and helped me when I was governor and gave me sound advice when I was in the White House.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. MediaMatters.org had it last night. Here's what they say. During CNN's live coverage preceding Bush's State of the Union address, co-host Paula Zahn claimed, quote, a lot of people out there are saying that if you vote for a Democrat, that basically you want to be bombed, end quote. Doesn't that piss you off? Huh? A lot of people out there. What's your source, Paula? Would that be Bill Kristol and Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld? Paula Zahn. Another one bites the dust, huh? Zahn also claimed to identify through her massive powers of observation working at CNN what she called, quote, a perception that Democrats are reactive, not proactive, that they have no agenda of their own, and that basically the only thing they're good at is blasting the president, end quote. So she's identifying this perception. Thank you, Paula. Thank you very much for identifying that for us and letting us know that if you vote for a Democrat, basically you want to be bombed. The people are saying that. What people, Paula? Paula Zahn, the Judith Miller of CNN. And will anyone call her on that? No, of course not. Of course not. Of course not. UN Representative Lynn Woolsey from California today issued the following statement regarding Cindy Sheehan's arrest in the gallery of the House of Representatives. Quote, since when is free speech conditional on whether you agree with the president? You're kidding, Lynn, right? Oh, never mind. Cindy Sheehan, who gave her own flesh and blood for this disastrous war, did not violate any rules of the House. She merely wore a shirt that highlighted the human cost of the Iraq War and expressed a view different from that of the president. Free speech and the First Amendment exist to protect dissenting statements like Ms. Sheehan's last night. Stifling the truth will not blind Americans to the immorality of sending young Americans to die in an unnecessary war against a nation that posed no threat to our security. The president's speech last night was yet another attempt to distort history, as he suggested once again that the 9/11 terrorists come from Iraq. Everyone knows this is not true. We must not be afraid to say that the emperor has no clothes. It's time to bring our troops home, end quote. Well, you're right, Representative Woolsey. I completely agree with you. But isn't it interesting how our reading of 1984 is kind of somewhat sort of paralleling or running parallel with what the Bush thug, the Bush bastard, is doing? Of course Bush is rewriting history. Of course. Absolutely. He doesn't have the sophistication of the Ministry of Truth, even though the book was written in 1948 before anything mechanical. Well, I guess they had telephones and, in the real world. But here's Bush rewriting history. Every time he opens his trap. And as Marianne Darling wrote to me, she said, counting the dead is anti-war? Well, in a sense, Marianne, it is anti-war. Capitol Police dropped the charge of unlawful conduct against Cindy Sheehan today and apologized for ejecting her and the congressman's wife from Bush's State of the Union address for wearing T-shirts with war messages. One pro, one con. The Capitol Police Chief, one Terrence Grainer, said in a statement late Wednesday, the officers made a good face but mistaken effort. He added, the policy and procedures are too vague. We don't. The failure to adequately prepare the officers is mine. I'm sorry. His statement came a day after, as you all know, no point running this down. I just want to close it off. The day after the Cindy Sheehan. And Beverly Young, the wife of Bill Young, Republican from Florida, were ejected from the visitors' gallery. Sheehan, of course, was taken away in handcuffs. Mrs. Young stood and chatted with the person who said, "You can't wear that. You can't wear it. No, 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 no. Stand up. Come on, come on. Stand up. Get up. Stand up. Can't wear that." Police Chief Grainer said, neither guest should have been confronted about the expressive T-shirts. It's just so confusing being here.
Grainer said he was asking U.S. Attorney's Office to drop the charges against Cindy Sheehan. There were no charges filed against the other one. Of course not. For his part, little toy representative, Republican Bill Young from Florida, said, "My wife was humiliated." "My wife was humiliated." He suggested that sensitivity training may be in order for the Capitol Police. What? Sensitivity training? Bill Young stood on the floor of the House today and said the following. "Because she had on a shirt that someone didn't like that said support our troops, she was kicked out of the gallery. Shame, shame." Did you mention anything about Cindy Sheehan, you little rat bastard? Did you mention anything about Cindy Sheehan? Did you and your wife give a son into Bush's murder machine, Bill? No? So what? Are you pissed off because somebody had the temerity to confront your wife with her I Love Death t-shirt or whatever the hell it was? More war! More war! I don't know. Is that what it said? And that upset you, Bill? Huh? You little rat bastard? I don't know what to tell you, Bill. Did you stand up for Cindy Sheehan? Or are you only standing up for your wife? Now, I realize she's your wife, and, you know, Cindy is just a troublemaker. But shame, shame, he scolded from the House floor. Apparently, Mr. Young's wife, what's her name, by the way? Of course, they like to be referred to that way. These are Republicans. Mr. Young's, let's call her Mrs. Young. Mrs. Young told the St. Petersburg Times after they had taken her out in the hallway outside the House chamber, she said, quote, "They said I was protesting. I said, read my shirt. It is not a protest. They said, we consider that a protest. I said, then you are an idiot." Did you stand up for Cindy Sheehan, Mrs. Young? Did you say anything about, what about the other lady you're busting tonight? See, there's an object lesson here for you right-wingers, okay? Do you want me to explain it to you, or do you get it without my having to speak in short sentences and monosyllabic words to get this across to you? But do you get the lesson here? The T-shirt lesson, the Nazism lesson, do you get this? You see, putting any message on a T-shirt eventually in Nazi land will be prohibited. Why? Because messages don't belong on T-shirts. Messages only belong in state-sponsored publications or broadcasts where it can be controlled. If we allow you to say, "I support the troops today," tomorrow you might say, "I don't support the troops." Don't you understand how this works? Oh, Mrs. Young, you really don't, do you? Aw. Somebody get Mrs. Young an explanation real quick. Can we bring an explanation over? Mrs. Young, in a totalitarian society, you don't say anything on a T-shirt that's not approved, or a newspaper, or a magazine, or a radio program, or television, or the theater, or the dance unit, or a film, or on the sidewalk, or scratched on a wall, or placed somewhere inside your head. That, Mrs. Young, is called thought crime.
Stand up for your rights. I say, preacher man, don't tell me heaven is on the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's not all that glitter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Stand up for your rights.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Well, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just golden coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's Massaging Gel Insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
And coast to coast, the Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
It's 21 past the hour. Just a couple more here on the Cindy Sheehan arrest and detention. And then back your phone calls. This comes from Rick in Riches in Texas. Rick writes, the Capitol Pigs arrest Cindy Sheehan for wearing a T-shirt, and CNN dutifully reports she was arrested while attempting to unfurl a banner.
Gold Star Families for Peace say the Capitol pigs descended on Cindy as she was taking off her jacket. Now that Bush has four mullahs on the Supreme Court and Anthony Kennedy is the new swing vote, we can kiss the First Amendment goodbye. You say that with hard work, we might be able to turn things around in 15 to 20 years. My question is, does this country have 15 or 20 years? Paul Volcker, a conservative, predicts economic collapse in 2 to 3 years due to overwhelming national debt and Washington indifference. Most of you know that Paul Volcker used to be the head of the Federal Reserve, right? And a secret Pentagon report recently leaked talked of global changes secondary to global warming leading to, quote, chaos, riots, and wars over fuel, food, and water, end quote. I envision, Rick writes, Jesus returning to Earth after the Focus on the Family-sponsored Armageddon and all the Christian wingnuts led by the Bush crime family going to meet him. But imagine their surprise when instead of a holy handshake and job well done, a red-faced Jesus yells, "You effing idiots, what were you thinking?" One more thing, Rick writes. One thing we on the left have to do is not let the Nazis frame every argument. A striking example is the deficit. It is not $400 billion. It is $650 billion. Damn it. Separating the war from the regular budget is like removing your house payment from your monthly expenditures. It's dishonest and self-defeating. Keep up the fight, Mike. Don't be no ghost. Woo. All right, Rick. Don't be no ghost. Yeah, the budget deficit, what is it this year? $650 billion. Rick's right. Why let the rat bastard get away? I'm going to start using the word bastard a lot in reference to Bush because a bastard, I know it's an archaic term and carries with it the whiff of dumping on a poor little child, but it does mean illegitimate. And if there's anything Bush is, it's illegitimate. This is from Brian in Wisconsin. Hey, Mike, today there was a poll on AOL that I took. It asked two questions. One was if you think it was right to throw Cindy Sheehan out of the State of the Union for wearing an anti-war shirt. The other was it okay to throw out Beverly Young, Republican Representative Bill Young's wife, for wearing a T-shirt that said support the troops, defend our freedom? Because I'm a fair guy, I voted that neither of them should have been thrown out because of freedom of speech. However, when I saw the results, it said that 60% thought Sheehan should be thrown out, but only 40% thought that Beverly should have been thrown out. Proving once again that people don't think. People don't realize this is a constitutional moral issue. Just because Sheehan does not agree with Bush does not mean she should be censored. You're right, Brian. You're absolutely right. But it's a waste of time to try to get to that the people that put those results on that particular poll. Because in their world, just like Christians, the fundamentalist Christians, the Dominionists will tell you, no matter who you are, Mother Teresa is going to burn in everlasting hell. You know why? Because she was a Catholic and she bowed down to graven images. That's a hideous sin. The greatest Jewish leaders, religious leaders on earth are going to burn in hell. Why? Because they don't accept Jesus as their personal, private little savior. Beautiful. And that includes people like Jonas Salk, you know, the guy that invented the a vaccine against polio. Think about it for a while. He's burning in hell right now. God. I'm sorry, I will say it forever. Christian superstition to me, the encoded, codified superstition is beyond belief. This is from U.S. Air Force retired colonel. He's got his whole address here and his phone number, but I just don't want to say his name. I don't know why. He's in Texas. He writes, it would appear the San Antonio Express News reported the actual State of the Union in the past 2 days editions rather than President Bush on his big night. Quoting the Express News, 31 January 06, front page, quote, savings rates now in the red. Indicting our national personal savings rates are at a minus 0.5%, the first time it has been in the red since the Great Depression of the 30s.
The same edition reported on the business page, ExxonMobil gushes record profits, etc., etc. It appears the poor get poorer and the rich get richer as the middle class disappears. This is the true state of the union. Thanks, Colonel. Appreciate it.
And I thank my God for one more perfect man. Three men in my life whose love has been true.
Yeah.
Jesus, Daddy, and you.
Jesus, Daddy, and you. Amen.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums or wear a dust mask. But here's a better idea. Try my newest 8-pound Oreck XL Free for 30 days. It cleans the air as it vacuums your floors. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Then if you still want a bagless vacuum, I'll send you a desk mask to wear.
Dave, you can't sit outside on the window ledge with your laptop. We're on the 19th floor.
I can't sit next to Bob. He looks terrible.
Dave, try my Emergen-C. The powder in the little packets loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
Oh, it's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost. Now, Dave, please come back inside.
I will, for a few packets of your Emergen-C. Besides, I think that pigeon just sneezed.
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
The world can't wait. Drive out the Bush regime. We all heard Bush's State of the Union address Tuesday. The State of the Union is a state of emergency. Get on the bus. Stop what you're doing right now. Go to worldcan'twait.org and get your bus ticket, your plane ticket, and be in Washington, D.C. on Saturday when we demand Bush step down. The Bush regime is immoral, dangerous, and indictably criminal. We must stop it. It's time to take to the streets. Don't stop with bringing yourself to D.C. Bring your friends. Organize a bus for your block, your church, your school. Get everyone you know on the bus. It's that simple. Be in D.C. Saturday and demand Bush step down. The future is riding on it. See you in Washington, D.C. at 17th and Constitution at 11 a.m. Saturday. Bush lied. Bush spied. Bush stepped down. Get on the bus. Call 866-973-4463 and visit www.worldcan'twait.org.
We'll be right back.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Letter here from Patty in New Hampshire. This is about my statement, claim, projection, prediction, whatever. It's going to take 15, 20 years for Democrats to, you know, the Democrats that really think, well, we're going to turn anything around in November this year. Yo, listen close. No, we're not. And I've said 15, 20 years. So Patty writes, Mike, are you crazy? Think about it. 15, 20 years from now, what will we look like? Remember the scenes from Katrina? Well, most of us will be so penniless, wearing rags on our backs and skinny, oh, so skinny, poor and hungry. Our children will not be able to read or even speak a recognizable language. Our dwellings will be under rocks and in spider holes. The rivers will be dry beds, our water scarce and putrid. The air will smell of stench and burn our lungs. The farmland's dried furrows mercilessly will defy family memories of labors of love. Trees will no longer surface, their roots eaten as a main dish of stew. Whew. We can't wait 15 or 20 years, Mike. Don't you see? We have to get a paper trail established at the voting booth before November 2006. We must, and I'm going after every Congress member who won't invoke the articles of impeachment this coming election. The pressure is on now. We are living in the now, and this is where we make it happen. Not when I'm underground or my ashes circulating the yellow moon overhead. Think about it. Well, Patty, I have thought about it, you know, and have you got that thing from Busta Rhymes? Can you get that out? Because what Patty's talking about here is what my man Busta Rhymes talked about in this little cut. Have you got it? Okay, Kathy's going to get it in a second, and we're gonna play it in honor of what Patty just came up with. This is one of my favorite of all time. Busta Rhymes. Patty, here you go, sweetheart.
Daddy, what's it gonna be like?
Well, sweetheart, for your sake, I hope it'll be all peaches and cream, but I'm afraid the end time is near. The cataclysmic apocalypse referred to in the scriptures of every holy book known to mankind. It will be an era fraught with boundless greed and corruption, where global monetary systems disintegrate, leaving brother to kill brother for a grain of overcooked rice. The nations of the civilized world will collapse under the oppressive weight of parasitic political conspiracies which remove all hope and optimism from their once faithful citizens. Around the globe, generations of polluters will be punished for their sins, unshielded by the ozone layer they have successfully depleted, left to bake in the searing naked rays of light. Wholesale assassinations serve to destabilize every remaining government, leaving the starving and wicked to fend for themselves. Bloodthirsty renegade cyborgs created by tax-dodging corporations wreak havoc. Pissed off androids tired of being slaves to a godless and gutless system where the rich get richer. Unleash total worldwide destruction by means of nuclear holocaust, annihilating the terrified masses, leaving in its torturous wake nothing but vicious, cannibalistic, mutated, radiated, and horribly disfigured hordes of satanic killers, bent on revenge, but against whom there are so few left alive. Starvation reigns supreme, forcing unlucky survivors to eat anything and anyone in their path. Massive earthquakes crack the planet's crust like a hollow eggshell, causing unending volcanic eruptions. The creatures of the seven seas, unable to escape to certain death upon land, boil in their liquid prison. Disease encircles the earth. Plagues and viruses with no known cause or cure, laying waste to whatever draws breath. And humankind, having proven itself to be nothing more than a race of ruthless scavengers, fall victim to merciless attack at the hands of interplanetary alien tribes who seek to conquer our charred remains. This is extinction level event.
Wow, that's cool. I can't hardly wait.
You don't have to, because here it is. Because here it is.
Because here it is. Because here it is. Because here it is. Because here it is. Well, I hear you, Patty. All right, let's go back to the phone calls here, if we may, please. Shall we begin with Ben in Illinois? Ben, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine, Ben. How are you?
Not so good. I'm 17 years old right now.
You're what?
I'm 17 years old currently.
17? Okay.
And I'm just looking at what the future is going to be like and realizing just the destruction that Bush has been causing. I mean, and now he's thinking about making the tax cuts permanent. Where is that going to leave me down the line when my country has record deficits and I can't pay for any services or can't pay for schools or anything of that sort for my children? You know, and I just, it's amazing. And I don't know what the hell we'll do to stop it.
Yeah, you know, I used to, when I would get young people who would call in, you know, I could come up with something. Back during the Clinton years, when, you know, Bill Clinton was signing laws that allowed spying on Americans, when authorized, not signing laws, but signing executive orders that allowed spying on Americans, and signing legislation like NAFTA that sent all the jobs overseas, and you know, when Pappy Bush was destroying the economy, and when Reagan was, you know, back then in Reagan and Bush 1 and Clinton, I could still see a little sliver of sunlight somewhere, and I used to say to young people calling, well, don't worry, this too will pass. And, you know, things are cyclical. We've had dark times in the United States of America, and we've managed to pull out of it. But I'll tell you what, I don't know what to say anymore, Ben, that is hopeful. But I'm an old bastard, you see. I've got food in my refrigerator older than you. I am so old, I can remember when a vote counted. It actually counted. And the future does not belong to people my age. The future belongs to you. So here's what I would suggest, that you and your cohorts, people your age, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, whatever, Students for Democratic Society is reinvigorating itself. It's coming back to life. That was a really interesting and progressive organization back in the 60s, in the early 60s. There was a statement put together in Michigan called the Port Huron Statement that laid out what SDS was all about. You might check that out, Students for a Democratic Society, .org, I think. I think it's online. I think they have a website. But my advice, I know you didn't call for advice. You sound a little bit down, and I don't blame you. But the thing to do for someone your age, it can be turned around 15, 20 years, and you'll still be a fairly young person, you know, when you're in your 30s. You really are. I know that you may not see it that way, but it's true. So you've got time. That's the one thing that those of us over the age of 50 or 60 don't have, and that's time. You guys have the time. You also have the energy. You also have the intellectual power. You also have the strength. You also have the determination. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. And
okay. Let me finish this, because it's important, Ben. At one time, people in my group were young too, and we fought against the same kind of tidal wave of garbage and bat squeeze that you're going to have to fight against. I think the difference was back then, though, we still had a two-party system. As corrupt as it was still two parties. There was an awful lot of energy floating around the country because the civil rights movement was in force. The student rights movement was in force. The anti-war movement was in force. The feminist movement was in force. A woman's right to choose an abortion if that's what she wanted was in force. All of this stuff was happening. There was an awful lot of energy. There was very little television. Back in the day, there were three channels. You understand what I'm saying? There's no cable. Oh, there might have been cable, but that was for people who lived in the country. There was no internet. There was no nothing. So all I'm saying is you can do it. Your generation can do it. It's my generation that is screwed, tattooed, and nailed to the wall. It's over for us. We can sit here and talk about it, but a lot of us are not going to be around to see it. Now, all I'm suggesting is just fight like hell. Organize, organize, organize. Get with your people, get with people your age. There's an old saying, the people united will never be defeated. And if ever that was true, it's for people you are part of a huge cohort. There's an awful lot of people in your age group. And if you people say no, hell no, then no, hell no will be the outcome. You got to fight. All you're fighting against is fascism, militarism, global dominance. But you're fighting old people. Okay, Bush and Cheney and the rest of these people, they're old, decrepit. Most of them don't have hearts that work right. They don't have kidneys that work right. They don't have livers that work right. Their brains are rotting. You're fighting vampires and ghouls and half-dead people. You can win. Do you understand me, Ben?
Oh, I totally agree. And I see the brainwashing that has taken over to a lot of these older people right now. I mean, I was talking to my military topics teacher just today. He's a lifelong Democrat, but he's recently all of a sudden comes out and says that, I know Bush lied, but when you think about it, we do kind of need the oil, and I'm just wondering how this brainwashing could possibly occur. And you're right, it all goes to the media, the cable television shows. But I think what the Democrats need to do, which is more effective than seeing someone on TV, is get organized at the grassroots level.
Right. Well, we're out of time here. Thanks, for Ben. Just let me leave you with a couple of real quick thoughts. Two words: organize, fight, or resist. If the word fight is you don't like, organize, resist, and don't trust anybody over 30. Okay. Take care, Ben. Keep your powder dry.
It sucks pretty bad right now. You're gonna end up smoking crack on your back. Face the fact, you're gonna end up with blood smack, and then you're gonna die. And then you're gonna die.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You're already doing what's hard for your health. You diet.
That's hard.
You do regular exercise.
That's harder.
You even get a colonoscopy.
The hardest.
If your doctor says you're at risk for a heart attack, he could tell you that adding Bayer low dose is a simple way to help prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks.
Now that's simple.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer low dose. A little does a lot.
Hello, my name's Smokey, and I'm a hardcore biker. I'm here to tell you that Geico... Hold on a sec. Is this the right music, bro? Really? Anyway, Geico covers most kinds of bikes, so you can get money-saving discounts whether you're a casual weekend rider or a hardcore biker like me. See, man, I'm not sure. This music don't make a lick of sense.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
neocons. Don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
10 before the hour, Rick in Fort Lauderdale writes, Mike, can you have imagined if the sleazy chronologist of Crawford, Texas had stood up and said, this evening we have Cindy Sheehan with us. Now, she and I do not agree, but I'd like to thank her son for his service to our country and Mrs. Sheehan for being a great patriot.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Rick closes by saying, Kathy wouldn't even have needed to take your socks off after that. Well, she doesn't take my socks off anyway. I mean, sometimes I have to have her change my Depends, but I wouldn't let her touch my socks. Thanks to the folks who put this program together tonight. The engineering department was handled by Justin Yuen, Tim MacArthur, and our resident rock star, Jason Isaac. Dee Neal is our associate producer in New York, maintains the blog at airamericaradio.com/Mike Malloy, also handles your phone calls. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall manages our website. Our militant moderators at MikeMalloy.com handle the message board there. Oh, Jesus, Kathy. Kathy wants me to tell you there are new Molly photos in the gallery at MikeMalloy.com. Okay. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives this program and many other ones. Send him some money. Can you do that? I hate asking for money, but this is important. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Go there. Not a lot. You got $10? Have we got $10? We do? Well, let's buy a bottle of wine. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief, and Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Tony is calling from New York. Tony, welcome to the program. Hey, Tony. Tony. Speak up, Tony. All right. Sorry. Bill is calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hey, Bill. Hey, how you doing, Bill?
Hey, I was just calling. I was listening earlier, and I was thinking about how the bastard and his little followers had voted for him in 2004 were frightened into voting for him by all that fear-mongering.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I'd like to make a observation.
Yeah, go ahead.
But the last couple of weeks that you've been reading, 1984?
Yes.
When I was in high school, we were given the choice of reading that or Animal Farm.
Uh-huh.
And if you put two of them together, you get Bush World.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. That's very true. All right, thanks, Bill. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks. Thanks a lot. All right, take care. Dan in Arlington, Virginia wrote in, Hi, Mike, is it me? I can't find any polls showing approval ratings for Georgie Boy. CNN, MSNBC, Washington Post, nothing. And it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Damn, I've had this for 10 hours. Well, okay. By this time, we could have found out polling numbers for his choice of suits. If I were a conspiracy nut, I would conclude that the polls were so bad they were being deliberately not reported. But what do I know? I haven't seen any either, and it's 10 hours after you sent that to me. So I don't know. There's no telling. It's Tony. Tony there? Tony, New York? Hey, Tony? Okay. Adios, Tony. Christine is calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for holding on, Christine.
Hey, well, I just want to commend you on your choice of 1984. And just a short story. Before the last mock election for our mock president, I went through all hell. I was sick as a dog. I'm waiting in line for over 35 minutes in the rain just to get to vote. And behind me are two Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, very pretentious, and reading a book in line. And nobody... You know, it's only pretentious to read a book when you're standing in line. You know, you sit down and read a book. But anyway.
Right.
So I
agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, who stands around to read? Anyway, but anyway, but I look back after hearing their banter, and I look at the book he's reading,
yeah,
and it's Orwell. It wasn't 1984, but it was George Orwell. And so I poked him a bit in the sternum, and I said, oh, what are you doing, picking up tips?
Yeah, really, he's reading it as a training manual.
I know. And then he looks up at me, and he says, I don't know what you're talking about. And he pretentiously goes back to reading his book. And it's like, well, what don't you get, you know?
Yeah, did you have a feeling like you'd like to kick him in the shin?
I would have swept his knees and then pummeled his face into the ground.
Oh, I see. All right.
So,
oh God, you liberals are just full of violence. You're just full of violence.
Well, I know. Well, we worship Satan here, you know. Speak of Lord.
Right.
Well, have a good night.
All right, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, Christine.
Okay, hail Satan.
All right. Yeah. Oh God. Hail Satan. Get her off the phone quick before the studio turns into a pumpkin or something. We're about out of time, so we're going to start the music and bail out of here. Thank you very much for participating in the program tonight. If you lurkers, you right-wingers, ever want to, you know, take your best shot and call in, we'd love to hear from you. This program needs comic relief occasionally. So we'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, take care. All right, watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
America Radio.
I had no idea premature aging started with freckles and sunspots. Had I known that, I would have used Activate a long time ago. I'm Tina, and I'm 38 and flawless.
I hated admitting my skin was leathery with blotchy age spots. The sooner I faced that reality, the sooner I used Activate. Activate stopped the spots. You just dab it on. Now I look like I did 10 years ago. I feel younger, my skin is fresh looking and smooth. My name is Linda. I'm 52 and flawless.
Activate reversed my age spots and gave my skin a youthful glow without any harsh chemicals. It's by far the best product I've ever used. It's easy and it works 24/7. My name is Brenda, and I'm 45 and flawless.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Activate at 1-800-507-3610. That's 1-800-507-3610. Fade age spots on your face, hands, and neck. Call 1-800-507-3610. Ask how to get a free supply with your order. Call 1-800-507-3610.